bill?
Mr. Chairman, I've got a fairly lengthy list, but
start going through it.
Completely your call. If you guys want to go through the budget book first, these are just things that.
Why don't you just go through the list? Let's do cities, towns, and counties.
Okay.
And you provide a spreadsheet.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, there was a chart passed out that Alex and Dean put together real quickly when you adjourned. And this is just from the 2010 budget bill. That's the total amount appropriated up at the top, $87,456,560. And it was split those two ways that you see, 89% and 11%. And you don't need me to read it to you, but it's section 335 in the budget bill if you end up looking for it. The amounts that get distributed on the third tier of boxes there, the two-thirds, one-third, 5.5%, and 5.5%, those are all spelled out in paragraph A of section 335. There are those four splits. And then it goes into quite a bit of detail. It's a fairly lengthy section 300, as I'm sure you all remember.
Questions on the allocation diagram? Okay, next item. On the left. Mine was on the left.
You just got it.
Yeah, mine was on the left. Yeah. Okay. Next item on your list.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, the big items that I have that we need to kind of keep in mind, we've sort of talked a little bit about, but this is all information that wouldn't be housed in this budget book in any line item detail. So it may be mentioned in the governor's budget message. It may show up in the profile. Some of them are in letters. It's not completely consistent, but I'll just run through the list for you. And again, this is my list. It may not be absolutely complete. Number one issue I have for you is that locals, highways, LSRA split of the SPRA monies, and that is contained in Governor's Letter Number 1. The Medicaid set-asides, a couple of them that are, well, there's one of them that's included in Governor's Letter 1. I'm not sure about the $25 million. You know, you have a few issues there. The recommendation that $25 million be added to the auditor's current $25 million that's sitting there as backup for Medicaid. There's also an additional $51.2 million to back up ARRA funding for 13-14, so that would probably have to be some kind of Section 300 that separated money off if you wanted to follow the governor's rec on that. And there's other Medicaid money in there as well that does show up in here. The next one I have is the Niobrara oil play road monies, to start addressing that potential issue. It's $610,000. That's contained in Governor's Letter 1. We talked already about the $14.5 million for the data centers. That's contained in Governor's Letter 1, and that's one that's going to be a little odd looking on the profile. Vets Memorial Park is in Governor's Letter Number 2 for Cody, $250,000. The Rockwell building issue, AML funding, and on that one, I guess I was sort of thinking that the UW handout, and I had that handout number. I don't have it written down on this sheet, though. But UW did a pretty good job of laying out that language. It's a good place for us to start, is all I'm saying. The air service enhancements issue, the trust accounts, those are laid out in Gov's Letter Number 1. $100,000 for governor's transition money. That was laid out in Governor's Letter 1. That'd be an easy one to overlook, and that's why it made my list. We have another issue that I haven't talked to the committee about yet, but it's something that Dave Gruver and I believe Dave brought it to the co-chair's attentions, everybody, I think, needs to be aware of this issue, and it probably makes sense to address it in the budget in Section 300, and that is DEQ was double-funded with that industrial siting money in 2010, and if you want to look at it for fun tonight in all your spare time, it's chapters 47 and chapter 97 in the 2010 session laws, and 47-97, nearly identical amounts, nearly identical purposes, slight differences, and what happened was when the attorneys last year went to conform those bills before they became law, that piece of funding was omitted in that conforming legislation. So we need to remove that. And DEQ, we've been talking to DEQ about this through the summer. They haven't spent the money, and they're ready for this to be cleaned up. So just so you know, I mean, we can address that in, since the
Bill, is it shown as a reversion or hasn't reverted yet? And was it $1 million, $12?
Mr. Chairman, it is about $335,000, and it hasn't shown as a reversion. It's still counted. I mean, technically, it's still appropriated. So until we take action to deappropriate the money, it'll show.
It's a great word, deappropriate.
I'll stay out of it. issue number 12 that I have deals with Governor's letter number 1 and Governor Meade's follow-up letter on compensation, follow-up letters, I should say, on compensation. Not that anybody would overlook that one. And yesterday a couple of things came up. The CapCon reversions that Rich Cathcart mentioned, we can adjust the language in the capital construction section from 2010 that did capture, you know, there was language that was put in there that will capture money and put it into that capital building restoration account, but it doesn't apply retroactively. So we can fix that and make that happen if you want to. There's an additional issue. Well, before I do that one, let's talk about that water for money in an account that we don't currently have that'll have to be set up. You can either deal with it in this budget bill or in the separate legislation, whatever you want to do, but just so that everyone's aware of it and it doesn't pass under the radar, I guess. The last issue that I have has to do with UW's federal mineral royalties and appropriations of those FMR amounts. We either need to, I think Dave Gruver has some, I think he has a piece of proposed legislation to clean it up, but you could do a quick fix in this budget bill and make sure that that those FMRs are appropriated due to current statutory language. To be completely technically accurate, we probably ought to have that money in somewhere in this budget, authorizing them to expend it. They have authorization to expend those FMRs currently for bond repayments, but they're using some of it for physical plant operations. So, and I don't, this goes way back to the Geringer administration, this whole issue does. So it's just a matter of cleaning this up and making it right.
Mr. Co-Chairman, do you think that we should make it a Section 300 and run the bill? Because Mr. Gruber does have a bill drafted.
This is for which one now?
This is for the UW Federal Mineral Royalty expending and giving them authority, and it needs to be cleaned up. So could we do it both ways?
Well,
so that
Mr. Who's chairing this thing right now?
I don't know, if you don't mind my asking.
Yeah, I was thinking
He's
about
thinking
I was adding to the list. Go ahead, though.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think, and that was a serious question. I wasn't sure who I need to address, and I want to make sure we're following protocol here.
That's fine.
Sorry, I get told all the time I have a great way of putting things. The FMR thing is really actually very easy to address,
okay.
Madam Co-Chair. All we have to do is just add a line item in the 067 budget and put that FMR amount in the other funds column.
We should do that.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, that's it for the list of kind of odd issues that I have outside of this book and. We can proceed any way you want to.
When I look at the list, I think it's pretty natural. We'll go through the budget item by item, leave the capital construction to the last. Before we go to capital construction, it'd probably be worthwhile to do the AML, the UW exhibits first because they address some of the CapCon issues. And then that really takes us into the governor's letters. And I think we do the CapCon, then to go to the governor letters. So, right now I would suggest, and that'll be Chairman Berger tomorrow, but I'd probably do AML as one, CapCon as two, cities, towns, and counties as three. And then I'd say fund flows, because there are a couple fund flows areas, four. And then we just go through the five as the governor's letters, which may get picked up in the fund flows as we're doing it. And, you know, if we jump around a little bit, nobody's going to get hurt. Does that make sense? CapCon. The only thing I was suggesting is we do the AML amendments first because we got to decide whether we agree with those AML funds and if we're going to pull money out because it's hard to approve the CapCon issues if you agree or disagree with the AML flow. Mm-hmm. That makes sense? I mean, I don't know how to make a difference. But and we can move them around as we're going through. If it doesn't make sense, we'll make adjustments.
We have the ninth to think about that.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? All right. We'll start going through. Everybody remembers it takes a majority to pass any amendment.
So is that three on your side or four on our side?
No, it's a majority of both sides together, right?
Mr. Chairman, it's just a majority of the committee. Yep.
So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's what it takes.
7 votes.
7 votes to pass.
Yeah.
Is that what you...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
4, 3.
No, I should probably explain that. What we'll do is we go through the budget, agency by agency. If you want to make changes to the Gov's recs that are there, make them as we go along. We'll go through all of this. We'll do the Section 300s, and then we'll go back one more time through the budgets to make sure that everybody's picked them up. Now, the issue is if you want to make an amendment in an agency that's not here, we'll pick that up towards the end. So if there's another agency that's out there, then we'll pick that up on the second time through. How's that? Yeah. Then what we might do to do that is if I've lost my list used to be here of the – maybe it's still here – of the agency numbers, or we just – you open your drawer and we'll just go through the notebooks. That's an easier way to do it. All right. Everybody sort of got the feel for it? Did I say anything wrong? Are you ready?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to give Dean and Alex a chance. Did I miss anything that you guys can think of, or Richard? No, any issues?
Sure. I'll explain it.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Now, we'll move quickly. If you see a note that you want to, that you think it needs to be addressed, just say timeout, and we'll stop. Because if you see, and if you see a note in your a note that you want to ask to see what other people's notes are, just a timeout, and we'll stop and slow down. So we always slow down if anybody has any issues, and but otherwise we kind of move forward. Now, so we start with the first agency, which is the 006 agency, Department of A&I. Was there no governors? We'll come back to the governors because there are governors' recs out there on the governor's budget. But yeah, we should get that out. Well, I mean, that's not, that wouldn't be in the governor's budget, 001. That goes in Capcom last. Yeah. All right. All right. So, to be clear, even though each agency has Capcom, we'll skip over the Capcom because they come last. They're big, big items that come last. So, when you open up the 006, it's a good thing just to, as we pass through the 006 budget, to take a look at page 8. Those are the, that's a summary of the agency's request, just as a, this is a format that a couple years ago we asked them to all put these, this format out. Skipping through
Mr.
that.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
It's correct to say that the Gov's Rex on the table is Governor Meade's Rex. Isn't that correct?
The motion on the floor is Governor's Rex. All those in favor say aye. That adopts the governor's recommendation. No, rejects the governor's recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, of course, that's Governor Meade's Rex, correct?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
So, and then, and that's an area, so if there's a change, usually what will happen, to make sure, if I don't remember it, Bill will stop us and say, by the way, there's a Governor Meade's recommendation. So we begin with the, pardon me? Yeah.
Since I didn't realize kind of how we were going to do this, I didn't make notes about where Governor Friedenthal's differs from Meade on these on the summary pages.
Yeah, you're not going to have to worry about that because we will not vote on it until we know what we're voting on.
Okay.
So if it's not as written, we'll stop and make sure what we're written on. So.
So I'm just hoping somebody's going to flag us and say, "Hey, there's a change here."
Right. Right. Exactly.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Representative Wallace, this thing might prove a little bit helpful for you. It's handout number 6. It's actually shown as a governor's letter, number 6. And that'll kind of summarize the Governor Meade's changes to those initial recs. At least give you a starting point for it.
It's probably in your governor's. Well, mine was in my governor's book. But everybody want to take a moment to get theirs? Yep. Oh, man. When we get there, we'll ask the question. On the motive goals? Okay. All right. While people are looking for that, the issue was, does anybody recall whether we got it, whether you read or whether there was a response on A&I's issue, whether they're going to acquire vans, V-A-N-S, cargo vans? Nobody remembers an answer to that? Well, what you could do is just put a footnote and say, of these.
And then, Mr. Co-Chairman, everyone should have a list of all the agencies now before you, all the agency numbers. Should have just been handed out, I think. Oh, maybe Don. Okay, he's handing it out. Okay. So you'll have them all.
Whether or not we need to make a motion to open up the budgets, and I think we only need to do that when we go around the second round. What do you think? That's right. All right. So we have in front of us now the... The A&I budget. The first item is Department 006, Division 3000, Unit 3020, which is there's a supplemental request for $1.232 million of internal service funds for acquisition of equipment. There's no general fund impact. The motion on the floor is Governor's Rec, which authorizes the use of internal service funds to acquire vehicles. The motion on the floor is Governor Rec's. Any discussion? Questions? Go ahead.
Second, just for the committee's clarification, if you don't mind, page 12 is the page that we'll take the vote on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that's down at the finest level of detail, at the unit level of detail, so that's where the votes will occur.
So we're looking at unit 3022, page 12. Governor's Rec is $1.232 million. His approval is reflected on page 11. All those in favor of Gov's Rec, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion's adopted. Actually, we probably should have done that at that time, but the issue, go ahead and just raise the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The issue is whether or not we should give us the flexibility to purchase a cargo van rather than a sedan upon determining whether or not there's a need for that, so we just don't say 55 sedans.
Go ahead, Bill. I think they have that flexibility.
Do they?
They justified it by amount, but they can acquire any vehicles they want with that amount. Is that a correct assessment?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's correct.
So right. The only issue there is whether or not you're uncomfortable that they won't do that, and you want a footnote directing them to do that.
Well, I mean, I don't. I'm fine. I think A and I will talk to the other people, and if they need it, they'll get it.
And that's Director, probable Director of A and I is here. All right. Now, with respect to the next item is the Unit 3053, which is the Rockwell Building Maintenance. The governor's rec was 437,576. The testimony today was that the amount that's actually required is 266,788 for maintenance.
Mr. Chairman, I have the governor's recommendation is zero means.
I think you're right. That you're, so the governor's, you're exactly right. So the governor's rec is zero. The issue here, it was zero and then a recommendation for sale. And so the issue here is, and then the testimony is that if we were to appropriate money for maintenance, it would be 266,788.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt a lower maintenance number of 2668 and
2667
whatever that number is. You just
266,788. The motion on the floor is to amend the governor's rec to increase the appropriation to $266,788. Discussion on the motion.
Call for the question.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion's adopted. Does anybody want to address the sale issue?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know how to exactly say it, but I don't want to sell the. I'll just tell you my concept, Mr. Chairman, and the motion would be that we're not going to sell the building unless we can make a some kind of substantial profit, what we talked about. Perhaps you, that's what I want to do. Is there a way to verbalize that? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to sell it just because we can, if we can make it and build something to replace it, that's fine.
Well, I think you could say the state or we direct the state building commission to entertain any offers to purchase the building above X dollars if you want that to be the case. Well, 7.9 just gets you another building just like you have it.
Right.
It's not as good.
Mr. Chairman.
I agree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a...
Mr. Chairman, could I over on this?
The other thing you could do is say that, flip it and say that by setting the policy, you could simply say that no sale would be entertained unless the sale proceeds would put the state in a better position with respect to buildings, or you just figure...
Mr. Chairman, I think at this time my motion is going to be that we do not entertain the sale of the building at this time. That's my motion.
Well, that's time out. So, I mean, if the policy... I'm trying to think, can they sell the building without our authorization? If we have maintenance money in, that's a good question.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the testimony of Mr. Cathcart was that they do indeed have the authority to do so.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, there's
but
also...
But you're now rejecting the governor's... Well, let's flip it out this. The motion on the floor, the second motion is, do you agree with the governor's rec to sell the building? So an aye would be an agreement, a no would be a rejection, so then you reject his rec.
Right.
Exactly.
That may be
you reject his sale of the building
yeah.
recommendation.
All right. So the motion on this, we'll just split it out. The motion, the second motion is the second part of the governor's rec, and that is to offer the building for sale. All those in favor of the governor's rec to offer it for sale, say aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
That part of the motion has failed. So that we've rejected the governor's recommendation with respect to making an offer for sale.
He didn't.
Does that make sense?
What
we did.
Explore options.
All right.
Well, we're not.
Senator Meyer.
Would it be in order now to say that we would entertain offers for the building that offers over $12 million?
Well, my only problem with that is that if you want to go out and solicit bids for an amount, there ought to be a process to do it. But I think what we do is we simply verbalize to the governor that, you know, if somebody wants to come in and pay $13 to $14 million, we're sellers.
Yeah.
I mean, but if that happens, we'll get a call.
Yeah, Mr. Co-Chairman, I just think based on what we heard in testimony from Mr. Cathcart that we're really getting into micromanaging at that point.
Well, I don't mind the micromanagement. I mean, we bought a building. This is our deal, but the issue
there
is
you go.
There's no probability that you're going to get a $13 million offer, so why are we having a discussion?
Chairman, that's why I brought the motion. Was simply that we've got a pretty valuable building. Don't want to give it away on the cheap just because we say we want to sell it.
Yeah,
that's
my
motion.
You know, this is all on the record. The governor knows his legislative liaison is here. He's got the message.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Time out.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I have this recollection of a footnote or a section 300 or something that we did a while back that directed ANI not to dispose of properties, and I believe it was that travel and tourism center out there off 25. Do you recall? Because there were federal encumbrances or something in it. And anyway, that was the language I was looking for, but I'm not sure it ever made it into the bill.
You know, I don't think they can dispose of it without an appraisal, going through all that process. It's in the real estate. It's a complicated process. It's not going to happen unless we get an extraordinary offer that's at above appraisal. But that's the one thing that you could say that we could put a footnote that says our policy is that no sale should be entertained unless it's above the appraisal, and then only if the appraisal exceeds your $12 million.
No.
Because why do a lateral transfer? We want to transfer up if we're going to do it. Is that generally the people's consensus?
Yeah.
So unless you could even say 10, I mean, it has to be, you'd have to be able to do it more than the cost of appraisal. And go ahead, Representative Edmonds.
Mr. Chairman, I feel a little differently. I'm not for sure that we want to tie the hands of the state to negotiate. And I think we're going down a road where we would severely hamper their abilities. I think we either trust that they've made good purchases in the past and we'll make wise decisions or we don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, except that the taxpayers bought the building. You know, taxpayers bought the building. We got a good deal. And if we had the same discussion, for example, with the Jets. Governor Friedenthal said, sell the Jets. We debated it, and we said, don't sell the Jets. We actually put it in policy. And then, of course, he became the biggest user of the Jets ever. But it was a policy that we made because we did want to set the policy. We've considered – and the cost – what you do is you give cover for the notion that we understand that we acquired a very nice building. It would not be our practice to acquire a very nice building in the absence of an extraordinary prize. Now that we've acquired it, what is the policy? I mean, and the concern is that it's extravagant. It makes us look extravagant because people don't know what you paid for the building. They just see an extravagant building. So maybe it's appropriate to set a policy in. I mean, if you're worried about it, then I'd just say that you could easily put a footnote in that sets our policy that the sale price would not be the market price, because the market price, the appraisal price might be a price even below you could rebuild it for, and that's why we got it for that price. So how do you set the policy? I don't know that you can articulate a policy by which you'd want it sold other than just say don't sell it.
I think, Mr. Chairman, that was my question. And is that the motion I made now finally was to just not sell it? And was it seconded? And did we vote on it?
The motion was governor's rec to sell it, and we rejected it.
We rejected it. So that's a done deal. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there another amendment?
Everybody comfortable with that?
Oh.
You know, I'm frankly not comfortable with that because we have a policy that they can buy and sell basically any piece of property we want or they want, and I think it's been demonstrated that they want to sell that basically at what it would cost us to build a building of the same square footage that's not near the building. So
I think to sell it, they'd have to go through an appraisal. They'd have to go to the building commission. The building commission is composed of the five electeds, and how many represent our legislators on it? Two or four?
They're ex officio.
They're ex officio and not voting? But they're there to argue the case. So the five electeds could make the decision to sell it if they chose to. They'd have to go through the process providing for sale of proper real estate, which means they'd have to have an appraisal, and they might even have to go through a competitive bid process, which if they advertise just like they're selling land. It's a pretty complicated process.
How about a notification to JAC if that comes on the agenda?
Well, they'll get notice because there's members of the JAC on that are advisors to the board. Pardon?
Mr. Chairman, LSO attends those State Building Commission meetings.
I mean, I think we have articulated the theories and the reasoning, and, I guess, do you have confidence that your elected officials will do the same analysis? If they go sell it tomorrow, they don't have any place to put those employees without getting a new lease, so they got some complicated issues. Everybody comfortable? All right. That addresses everything under the 3053 unit. That takes us over to utilities. At unit 3056, on page 16, agency requested $300,000 for utility adjustments. The governor rejected that. All those in favor of Governor's Rex, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Governor's Rex were adopted. That takes us to the Human Resources Division with the first agency, or the first unit would be Unit 3501 on page 21 and 22. The agency requested a total of $22,100,000, all of which was general fund. The governor Meade then changed the recommendation. This is where we have two components. We have the Governor's Meade's has one recommendation. Let's go ahead and pull his letter out on that. Let's pull the letter out so we've got it in front of us. Is that the letter that came up most recently today, or is it the
Gov's letter number 5, Mr. Chairman?
Okay, Gov's letter number 5. So that if you adopt the governor's recs, at this point you would adopt executive branch market and performance adjustments of he didn't subtract it. So if we go back to that earlier chart, he took the $6 million, reduced it by 3.1. And if you go to the cheat sheet that their office gave, the $21,100,000 was reduced to $12,042,495, and that includes.
Mr. Chairman, I have a breakout if you would like.
Okay, why don't you give us the breakout,
Mr. Okay. Chairman? We'll see the breakout. Is there still 3.1 in there for bonus? I have 2.7 for insurance, 6.1 for salary adjustments to get everybody 90%, and 3.1 for bonus.
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
That's what I have. So I've got 3.1 for salary bonuses, 6.1 for compensation package that would take it up to 90% of market, 2.7 million taking it to, or that would pick up the increased insurance premiums.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if it's appropriate to make a motion yet. Are you ready for a motion?
Pardon me?
Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a motion? Or?
Let's hold off until we get
All right.
Verify the numbers.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We can verify some numbers for you.
The
three components together total $11,970,495. That represents a cut of $10,129,505 to what shows up on this page. $10,129,505. So that leaves you with $11,970,495, 2.7 of which is insurance.
All right.
3132,000 is for bonuses. The remainder, 6,138,495. That's the market adjustment.
Richard.
That market adjustment is also increased by 72,000 of school foundation money. So the total Governor Meade's recommendation with market, merit pay, and insurance would be the $12,042,495.
Mr. Chairman, the numbers I gave you were the general fund piece.
Correct.
That's correct.
So if we adopt the governor's rec, we add in a school foundation program payment of $72,000. Everybody understand what the governor's rec is?
Yes, sir.
All right. Motions to amend the governor's rec.
I'd like to make a motion just to delete the 3.132 and change, whatever it was, on the bonuses. And just the testimony we heard, I just don't know that we have the plan ready yet to run with it.
Is there a second? The motion then is to remove the bonus compensation of 3.132 general funds. Discussion on the motion. All those in favor say aye. Oppose, no. The motion has been adopted to reduce it. Was there any question? Did anybody want a division on it? Or?
No, we were just hitting our heater.
Okay.
We can't afford a heater.
All right. So the motion now on the floor is the governor's recommendation as amended. And it's amended by reducing the $12,042,495 general funds by the 3.132 bonus dollars. So that would be the reduced amount staff will calculate it for us. Everybody understand the motion on the floor? The motion is Gov's Rec as amended. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion to put in $1,661,000 and go to $500 rather than $1,000 on the bonuses. I think it's important that we at least get started on this and see how that might work.
You just reduced it by half.
I just reduced it
by half. All right. The motion then is to, on the floor, is to reinstate the bonuses at a 50% level so that instead of having up to $1,000, it would be up to a $500, and that number would be approximately 1.665. But the exact number is actually calculated by a reduction by half. Does everybody understand the motion on the floor? Was there a second? What is that? What you? There is a second. Discussion on the motion. Brian.
Mr. Chairman and folks in the committee, I think we heard a considerable amount of testimony that people were uncomfortable the way the compensation may go out and the way that it would be fairly distributed, whether there would be. I even went and talked to the folks at the public employee folks, and they said there are people they know who haven't had an evaluation in 7 years. And so how do they even get involved in their earning period? And so you have a series of flaws, I think, in the system, and I'd rather set up the system and then fully fund it at 1,000 than send out 500 and create animosity on possibly both sides of those who receive and those who don't receive.
Another option is to fund it with half money and direct that none of it be spent until a plan's brought back to you next year that you agree on, then you have 6 months to put them out. Senator Meyer.
They've had evaluations of a new system for, well over 7 years. My feeling is that the animosity at $500 isn't going to be substantial. At $1,000, somebody might get upset that they didn't get it. At $500, I don't believe that it's going to be that much heartburn between any employee, but it will allow us to see whether or not ANI can actually run the program and get something implemented. And so we'll get a lot of information for this 1-6, and because there's no guarantee that they come back in a year and we fully funded it $3 million or $6 million or whatever they request, that we're going to have any more sense of well-being or sense that it's going to be ran the way that we think we should do it. About the only way you can do some of these things is actually get your feet wet. And this just basically allows them to do that.
Further discussion on the motion. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems to me that in order for a merit system to truly be effective, to give you the bang for the buck that you're looking for and to really incentivize someone to excel where they might not have that incentive now, you do need to be looking at larger amounts, but under a very well-designed and implemented program, and we don't have that yet. So I would speak against this until we get there.
Further discussion on the motion, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, referring back to that Hay study, we're there, and it's going to be hard to start evaluations based on if there's no money for incentives to hand out. I mean, why would you have an evaluation if there's, I guess, just for the punishment? You know, our state employees, we've hit them pretty hard over the last 2 years with no cost of living increases, with retirement insurance participation increasing. Insurance premiums will probably increase. You know, the whip has been applied pretty strong here in the last 2 years, and so I think we ought to start these evaluations and this process, as the Hay study recommended, and we've got to have some incentive bonus money to go along with those evaluations, or it's going to be
discussion.
Futile.
Representative Edmonds.
Mr. Chairman, speaking against the amendment, I don't believe that we have the system in place. We may be there yet, but we're not there as far as exactly how the merit pay is going to play out. Having anecdotal evidence from my own household, from my husband, who's pretty hard-nosed and has never actually given an exceed to his employees, there isn't a good system. We may be close, but we're not there. I see no reason to fund it. I think they're going to hear us loud and clear if we vote this down, that we would like a system in place before we put money on the table.
Senator Meyer?
We've been running around this for decades about how we should or shouldn't do it. And you're either going to move forward on it, and you're going to find out where you stumbled and where you fell, or you're not. And so, you know, this is, I think, the time when we do have to put something into it to see whether or not it's going to work in any way, shape, or form. So I would just say that this is a good place to start.
Motion is to reinstate the bonuses by half. Discussion.
Just quickly, that I think I'm in agreement with the motion as far as getting some money implemented in there. But then I like the caveat of having a program, with the condition of a program, because without having some type of system in place and just leaving it to someone's discretion, I think that it should have. I think we should do it, and I think there should be some kind of program in place.
All right, so as I understand, what the amendment would be is to reinstate one half, which would be 1.665, but that no part of the appropriation would be spent until a program is, do you want to say, brought back to the legislature for a review, or you just want them to have a program first before they implement it?
I would be comfortable with a review
by the legislature.
And Mr.
Is the motion on the floor to put in half, but that it not be expended until after the till after the legislature meets. I mean, ultimately, then you de-appropriate. I don't know how you would like to do it.
Mr. Chairman, this is an amendment to the amendment. Is that what we're dealing with?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And
there
Mr.
is
Chairman,
a second. I heard.
Well, right now, the
we're drafting.
We haven't the concept. I mean, what do you have in mind?
If that's the amendment, I don't consider it friendly because we might as well not even appropriate because
right.
we're not going to come back here and meet. So you're just holding.
Well, let's vote on the 1.665.
Yeah,
and
so let's
you
just
want
vote on the 1.665.
All right, the motion on the floor is without amendment, simply reinstating one half of the bonus money. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt. All those ayes raise the ayes raise their hand. One, two, three, four. Motion has failed.
Mr. Chairman. I have a motion to take that 1.1665 and just simply put it into the market pay, and I don't know whether that'll get us to 91 or 92% market pay position. It'll be close, somewhere in there. I think the original, the previous governor's recs were to get us to like 94, reduced to 90. This will probably get us, obviously it's going to move up. So that's my motion. If it gets a second, we'll discuss it. Thank
motion
you.
On the floor. Is there a second? The motion is to increase the market adjustments by $1.665 million. Does everybody understand the motion? Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I just make that motion. I think, we were at the some of it was talked about before. We haven't had a pay increase in a couple of years. Insurance costs are going up, all those things. And it's anecdotal, but the economy's starting to turn around a little bit. I was just listening on the radio driving just the other day, a couple of days ago, to the Capitol, that we're looking at probably the first raises in several years in the private sector in 2 years, two, 3 years. And so I think it just sends a message that we've got a lot invested in state employees. We've got a lot of training. We've got a lot of things going, and it's a small amount that's going to, I think, send a message about value and, we're sitting on a pretty hefty amount of money, and to say that we can only do 91% has probably got some issues as well. But I think this is a small amount that will, I think, send an important message that we value our state employees.
Further discussion? Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would speak against this, and here's my reasoning. We're already making a significant step by bringing them from, I think it's 85 up to 90, and they in the macro sense, in the broad sense, what we see, I received a report sometime last year that indicated that in the state of Wyoming, the average salary of a federal employee was somewhere in the neighborhood of $85,000. The average salary of a state employee, I may have the numbers wrong because it's been a while since I looked at this report. That seems to me like the average salary of a state employee was somewhere in the neighborhood of $65,000. The average salary of a county employee was slightly below that. And the average salary in the private sector is $30,000. Those are the kind of things that our constituents are seeing, and I'll tell you that what I heard loud and clear from the folks who are my friends and neighbors was that the state of Wyoming has way too many employees, and we are compensating them far out of line with the private sector. Now, I'm not, I also know that there's a lot of misperception out there and that some of those facts may be a bit off, but that's what is perception's everything when you're looking. And I believe that we need to be responsible to our employees, and I think we are by addressing this and making some forward motion. But I also think we need to exhibit a little restraint and discipline.
Senator Von Flatern.
Speaking in favor of the amendment, Representative Wallace, you're probably correct in your numbers, and I wouldn't argue with those. But We ask state employees also to do pretty much everything, well, everything that you would do in the private sector, and yet somehow we don't think they should be paid equivalently. So the closer we can get them to it, I think the better off this state is, and be every bit as proud of our employees as we are of our employees in the private sector.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, again, referring back to the Hay study, there's a chart in there of classifications, and we start at 18,800 and go up to 106,000 for the minimum category. So we have employees that are in classification B that the minimum would be 18,800. And so between those two numbers, the average would be somewhere around 46,000. Looking at this chart, too, you know, one of the things that's an important part of this study was this, let me show you a chart here. Let me refer to it. The job evaluations, classification, that's been done, job evaluation, pricing, and paid delivery of recognition of performance of work. And we struck one of those. I would speak at least in favor of this next amendment of trying to get some more money back to that pricing and pay structure. And we started out, I think, as our commission was discussing it, at 97%. Governor Friedenthal recommended 94, and Governor Mead recommended 90. So, we reduced that. We recognize that times aren't flush, but we also have to recognize that we got to keep our employees somewhat rewarded and happy and content. And I think it's just a message in the right direction.
Chairman, Representative Berger.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman. I would vote against this amendment, but what I would come back with is to try and reinstate again the merit pay with a review process done by the governor's office so that no money would be dispensed of until there was a plan in place and it had been reviewed by the executive branch. So that's another consideration.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I caution against moving above 90%, and I guess it's from my background. When I served on the Compensation Commission, it was a study that I recall back in those times that if you go above 90% and you use other states around here as a comparator, and they have basically the same kind of pay plan, that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that government wages will continue to go up, because we look at ours, they look at theirs, and we all look at each other's, and then pretty soon everybody is on a upward spiral. So that's at least the time during the 90s. The policy was to keep it at 90% because otherwise we were just chasing everybody up the ladder.
Mr. Folks, Chairman, you want me to wrap this up and we can vote?
I'd like to wrap it if you wouldn't mind.
I made the motion. If you wouldn't mind, can I just speak again? Then
I'd like to, if you want to go last, let me go then.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you. Right. Mr. Chairman.
All about you.
I'll let you go last then. You know, folks, a couple things about the this, and I guess as we're arguing these issues, a couple things we need to recognize. Unlike the floors out there, unlike where people are novice about their opinions, we have a group of people that are very confident about their decisions, and we want to make sure we're all advised of our respective positions, and you're advocating to a what I would hope it'd be, by the time we go through this, the most learned of the people out there. All of this is going out on the internet, and for me, accuracy is 100%. It's important. When you see statistics that say something, for example, the average federal salary is X, the average state salary is Y, and the average salary of citizens of the state is a different number, that's probably accurate information. The purpose of the Hay study was to go out and compare the salaries for which we're hiring people to the private sector. And for those of us that participated, it was an accurate study. And state employees for the same position are being paid less than their counterparts. As a practical matter,
most of the state employees, many of them that we hire, are people with that bring expertise. They're not a reflection of what the average of the employment out in the private sector is. There are people that operate ranches that take no salaries. However, they might own a ranch or be building equity in a ranch that may become worth millions. There are people that that don't have college educations. But I bet if you went and looked at the state employee mix, you would find that there's probably a higher ratio of college-educated people with professionalism that you would find in as you compared it to the population at large. So the facts are that the Hay study that we engaged, that we paid money for, shows that the state employees are paid less than their non-governmental counterparts. And you may feel, well, that doesn't take into account benefits because we have a good benefit plan. You may feel that that's fine. You shouldn't make as much as the private sector. But the Hay study is accurate. And so as you're making your judgment, I just caution you and your arguments to recognize that we have done a study that's made a market study, and you may not choose to get to that level for a variety of reasons, but those are the facts. With that, Representative Harshman, you get the last word.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. That was my sentiment exactly. For the first time since I've been in the legislature and on this committee, we've actually have data that compares like skills, like education, like responsibilities, not only across our agencies, which was really important because we had a wide disparity, but also to the private sector. So we actually get a function on facts, and I've never heard any testimony that our goal was to be at 90%. That's never been the goal. Our goal was to push this up and reward people appropriately, and 100% was the idea. Studies in the past do not relate to this study, and that we've done a lot of work. And I tell you, I didn't agree with it. I thought the folks, particularly on the bottom, weren't compensated. I mean, but when we compare what we can hire those folks to like positions in the outside world, these are the numbers, and that's where I'm going with this. I don't want to just settle at 90. I think if we can do 91 or 92, that's a good thing, and we'll continue to inch that forward. And so I urge your support, and I appreciate the comments, good Chairman, and urge your support for the amendment. Thank you.
The motion on the floor is to increase the market adjustment pool of compensation by $1.665 million. Bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'm really sorry to interrupt this point, but if you want 50% of that number,
okay.
It's $1,566,000.
Okay, and it was a 50% motion. So the motion, the accurate motion amount is $1.566 million. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
That motion has been adopted.
Division.
All those in favor raise their hands. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Motion's adopted. So now the governor's motion as amended should be in about a 10-something number. What's the amount number?
Mr. Chairman, the amount, and I guess this is another point of clarification, does the committee wish to put a footnote on saying all of this money is for market increase?
Yes, we will specify. So the motion will specify the categories, so because it'll go into that generic number and said of this amount, the amount we've approved goes to market adjustments, and there'll be insurance, and so we specify the allocations. And then we have a $72,000 school foundation program amount, and what's the general fund number?
The general fund amount, Mr. Chairman, with the insurance amount is $10,404,495.
Does everybody understand the motion on the floor? All the motion on the floor is the $10 million number just stated and the $72,000. Governor's rec is amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That closes the 3501 unit unless somebody has any further motions. If not, we go to
Next item is the 4014 unit, which is the IT depreciation reserve, which is at page 27. The governor's rec was not amended. It's a recommendation for use of internal services funds of 587,668. Any motions? There being none. All those in favor of the governor's rec, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That's been adopted. That takes us to the Pioneer Safeway building renovation. That's capital construction. That stays till later. The SB continue. I think everything else is CAFCON, correct? All right. So the construction will do.
Mr. Chairman, time out. I think we missed one on page 23.
I apologize.
Mr. Co-Chairman, back on unit 3501, did we need to make an adjustment to the school foundation amount based on...
Hold on a second. Let me get where 23...
That was the details on page 27, Richard.
All right.
And they voted on it and it passed.
We voted on the IT...
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Depreciation reserve, because that page 23 is not the expense order.
My apologies, Mr. Chairman.
All right, that's fine. Madam Co-Chairman,
right.
You wanted to raise an issue.
I just wanted to make certain that the amount that was recommended or that we approved on page 22 for school foundation, was that calculated based on the amount that was suggested for state employees? So when we adjusted up now $1.5 million, do we need to make an adjustment to the recommendation for school foundation?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's correct. We can figure that number out.
Okay. Well,
if you just vote and give us the
what we'll do
to
is,
adjust,
does everybody agree that the $72,000 would be adjusted at the same proportion as we adjusted the other numbers?
So
all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's been adopted. All right. That closes Agency 06, except for the CAFCON. The motion on the floor is to close 006. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. 006 has been closed. We're now in Agency 007, Wyoming Military Department. The budget narrative summary is on page 8. We're only going to address the Gov's recs with respect to the non-capital items. First one should be on
page 12, Mr.
Page
Chairman.
12, which is the 0405 unit for the challenge program account. The Gov's rec is no change to the challenge program account. Senator Meyer.
Richard, could you go over that to find out exactly what we're doing there? From what I understand, Mr. Chairman, that we're going to flex a bunch of general funds to make this work. And to me, we ought to actually be using school foundation funds because if we could use those.
I think what the testimony was is that there are dollars in this budget that are available for expenditure, which are all school, well, they're X, that's school foundation program account, or is that, what is that, those are the federal dollars? No, the S5 are the $1,050,000.
Mr. Chairman.
And you have X.
Right, the S5 is the school foundation money, and that is the lever for the X funds below on page 13. For the federal funds. X is the federal funds. S5 is SFP.
The budget division's testimony was that there are sufficient funds in the present budget to operate the program.
And
Mr. they're not
Chairman,
all
from,
being
from,
utilized.
From what I understand is that there may be some fund switches to make it work, but they're going to be series 100 switches, and it's going to be general fund.
I don't think it's
right,
lined
Richard?
Out that way.
Well, I'd just like to have Richard kind of tell
Richard,
us what's going on.
Why don't you give us your summary of what you've advised us as well as the National Guard with respect to your assessment of their budget.
Mr. Chairman, after the testimony from the National Guard, you directed our staff to get together with them and work up an analysis to come up with the actual numbers and various other issues. We have done that. This has been presented. It was all handed out to you. I don't know what my copy doesn't have your letter on there, but what it gets down to is with the B-11 flex authority that the governor has, there should be sufficient funding in the military department of general fund based on vacancies and their frozen positions to move money over to the challenge program to cover their projected shortfall in their school foundation funding, which the new amount based on 90% of market would be about $353,843,000. Now, that said, that amount, that 90% market adjustment was just changed a little bit by that $1.5 million, but that shouldn't be significant in this analysis. So there is enough money that we can access to make this program whole, so to speak, so they wouldn't have to reduce the program or eliminate the program. I think Senator Meyer's position here is he would rather fund this shortfall with school foundation money and then let the general fund money that is building up in the military department revert to the general fund as opposed to moving it around and spending it on the challenge program. Is that pretty much it, Senator? And Mr. Chairman, we're comfortable with whatever decision is made.
Okay, and that's reflected, that summary is reflected in Agency 006, Handout 56. That is one of your constituents.
Right.
Does that satisfy you?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it really kind of depends on the committee. If you're comfortable with having general fund monies not revert and not using school foundation funds for a school, then I'm fine with it. The program's going to go on either way. I just felt that it was probably more appropriate to use school foundation funds for a school rather than use general funds. And so that's where I'm at. It doesn't make any difference to me one way or the other. So that's the
Bill Maher.
What I would look at.
Mr. Chairman, speaking with the budget analysts, it sounds like the $72,000 of SFP monies that we just added in Agency 006 for the 90% of market issue is actually going to cover this problem, this whole issue. So I think it, Mr. Chairman, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think most of what you're concerned about, Senator Meyer, is going to be covered with that $72,000.
All right, so the motion on the floor is Governor's Rec on 0405, which adds no more money to the challenge program. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion's adopted. That takes us to the Veterans Services. And the first expense organization is over on page 18, which is Unit 0503 in Department 007. This is the appropriation for the Veteran Service Officer expansion, where that was denied, and approval of the regional office support and approval of the maintenance supplies, et cetera, on page 17. Governor's Rec will increase the appropriation by $132,500. All those in favor of the Gov's Rec say aye. Opposed, no. That's been adopted. That takes us to the Oregon Trails Vet Cemetery. And the first item is the on page 22, Unit 0601. Gov's Rec is $50,000 increase. with the specification that there will be no doubling of the amount in the biennial budget. Gov's Rex, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That's been adopted. And that takes us to CAPCON, correct? It does. Motion is to close HC007. Representative Hastert.
I mean, at what point can I get an explanation? I don't understand the money, the $72,000 that we put in covers the shortfall, or if my understanding, on the challenge program. I still don't understand that piece.
Okay, let me see if I explain it. What has happened is that we have put a fund of money in ANI's budget to push up salary levels to a 90% plus, just a little bit above that. So ANI has essentially a bucket of money for all agencies. One of the agencies that has employees that ANI has advised us will see salary adjustments is the challenge program. So a portion of the, it is what we're told by ANI, is a portion of that $72,000 will be made available to increase salaries at the challenge program to move it towards the 90% budget, so that all the representation is they can expect to see a portion of those dollars.
And Mr. Chairman, I understand that now. Thank you. And then an additional it still is coming from other parts of their budget that have not been expended, that they can move money around. Is that what the?
That's correct. So they have vacancies, and those vacancies allowed money to accumulate. The accumulated money is available for operational dollars. Is that right?
Operational salaries dollars, Mr. Chairman.
Right, operational salary dollars.
It can't be moved out of the 100 series based on your footnote.
Okay, you with us?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
The budget office analyst that handles that agency, Laura Anderson, can probably talk to Senator Hastert afterward if you want.
Okay, well,
but that's right. You have flex within the agency. You have the flex authority within the agency, and there's available salary money to handle it.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything in writing, but just a conversation I had, it didn't seem like that was supported, but that's something I'll have to carry. We'll look at later. And then,
all right. Any further discussions? Motion is to close 007, Military Department. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's been adopted. The next item is the, except for, we're all but CAPCON, which comes in ANI's last budget. So that takes us to the Office of the Public Defender, 008. The first item is a found on page 10, Unit 101, and that's a governor's rec to increase the appropriation by $200,000 and increase positions by two. Motion on the floor is Gov's rec. Any discussion? If none, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, that motion has been adopted. The next motion is to close Agency 008. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. That's been adopted. That takes us to the Department of Agriculture, 010 budget. The general summary of the request is found on page 6. The first expense organization is over on page 12, which would be Unit 303. Agency asked for $228,000. That amount was denied. Motion on the floor is governor's rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. And there's a governor's direction there. He'll just do that. There's no need to vote on that. The next item is the technical services unit. No, that was it. Excuse me. We're now into Unit 304. Agency requested $23,000 for the Real, it looks like the motion was adopted except for the category object code was changed. Motion on the floor is Gov's Rec for $23,000 and the new object code 242. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That's been adopted. That takes us to the Natural Resources Division. And it the first expense organization is found on page 19. It's unit 401, Natural Resource Services. Agency requested $200,000 in grants and aid. And the governor approved it, but switched the object code. I think essentially putting it into a non-reoccurring dollars, I would assume. Is that correct? So the motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's been adopted. Now we're into the next expense organization unit. Yep, it's the Emergency Insect Management. The request was for grants and payments of $2.6 million. The object series was changed to 903, which is a one-time series, so it won't develop into the standard budget, but the governor did recommend $2.66 million. Discussion? All those in favor of Governor's Rec, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's been adopted. Now we're into the State Fair Operations. The State Fair Operations is at... First off is the Unit 801, State Fair Operations. Governor made the, where do you see the 8,000? Well, I see a 72,000 on Unit 801. So it's a 72,000. Let me throw this out. The President of the Senate would like to us to consider putting in the budget $250,000 to be matched by, to be available as a matching fund amount for the, towards the, what is it, the 100th year celebration. So, Senator Meyer, would you make a motion to put in $250,000 for to be available as matching funds for the 100-year anniversary? And what we'll do is say that the funds, and what you can, there's a bill out there, a Senate file, but well, let's don't tie it to it. But you look at that bill to get the language, but it'd be available as matching funds for that. Did you make the motion? Is there a second? Is there a discussion?
Yes, I have a question.
Do we have a choice?
I don't know. You, I think bills all have to go through one office.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
In the past, we've tied it if something should pass. Would that be the language on this?
Yeah. We could do that.
Yeah.
Because there is an exact amount.
All right, we'll tie it to that file, so the file has to go through for to enable it.
97, I believe.
Sorry.
Mr. Chairman,
have you call myself? There you go.
Can you repeat the motion and for
I'm
us?
Communicating with my wife because she wants to know where I'm supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Madam
well,
Chairman,
have a
the
so
right, the motion would be to put in $250,000, which requires a match and
well, actually, you only have to do that. It's $250,000 to be utilized as specified in the bill.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's just
that's
simple.
Fine.
So it ties to the bill. Without the bill, it doesn't get utilized.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If I understand that correctly, it doesn't come. So there's no money if the bill doesn't pass, or is it reflection?
There won't be. When it hits Senate appropriations, there will be no money in the bill.
Okay, well, go ahead. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if I may. So it doesn't say if that bill should pass, this will exist. It just says that this money exists for matching reasons.
It'll say, no, what the staff will typically do is say of this amount, $250,000 will be spent exclusively for that bill. It'll be tied in it. So if the bill doesn't pass, or the Senate file doesn't pass, the funds can't be used or spent. Correct? Does everybody understand the motion? So it's a motion that puts in $250,000 in the budget, but it can only be spent if the Senate file is passed, and you'll see the Senate file later. But it's a matching, it's a matching program. Representative Vitt.
And this is separate from the governor's recommendation for the $72,000. So
yes,
we're going to vote on this
increases,
first.
This is a motion to increase that
increase,
by $250,000. So this is a motion to increase the budget by $250,000. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion is adopted. The motion on the floor is governor's recs as amended, which is the $72,000 plus the $250,000 for the 100th anniversary for the state fair. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. That motion's been adopted. The rest are capital construction items. That closes the motion is to close Agency 10. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion's adopted. That takes us to Department of Environmental Quality, Agency 020. We're now at the, there's a summary on page 6 to refresh your recollection. The AML funding we will deal with separately. So the motion on the floor is the Gov's Recs, which are on page 12, the narrative of which is on page 11, and my recollection is Governor Mead has adopted that recommendation, and this was an appropriation for approximately $160,000 in Unit 401. To address backlogs.
Mr. Chairman?
Discussion on the motion, Representative Harshman.
I think just did the Governor Mead add $1.5 million to this? Is that the.
Is it to this expense
yep.
org?
Yep. Mr. Chairman, it's Governor's letter number 5, Governor Mead's. Additional staff, it's DEQ additional staff on page 4 of 5 in that handout, Governor's letter 5. Reclassifying 4 FTEs.
While I'm thinking about that, would you put on your list the to address the frozen positions?
Yes.
So it was an additional recommendation of $1.5 million to address the backlog outstanding to employ contractors. It would be a one-time appropriation. Now, the 4 FTE transfer, I think, is under the existing recommended with Governor Friedenthal. So I think what might make sure we understand the governor's rec, but I think the 4 FTD transfer was under the Friedenthal rec, and what Governor Mead did was add $1.5 million, which I think would go in an object code of a 903 or something like that, that would be one time for use as the employment of outside contractors. Is that what your notes show?
And, with a plan.
All right.
Mr. Co-Chairman, Governor Mead also said that it had to be with a proposal that he approved.
That's part of his recommendation. I mean, I guess the in terms of writing the footnote, I think we just put it in the 900 series, and then his comments become part of the request, so you don't put that in the comment. I mean, all the comments that you see become part of the budget request. So that's built in. Does everybody agree with that? Does our staff agree with that? As staff agrees with that.
Mr. Chairman, as long as Richard is in agreement from the budget office. Okay.
So our position is that when you have the narratives upon which we approve are adopted into the budget, and the budget office, when it is monitoring the request, goes back to look at the request language, which is micromanagement.
Yes, sir.
All right. Senator Meyer.
At the risk of micromanaging even more, we had some testimony in revenue that the Department of Revenue had at least 3 positions frozen. And I'm just wondering, you know, these frozen positions, we're going to talk about them later, but as we're reclassifying these things, we need to realize that we've got a lot of agencies out there that have frozen positions for a long time, and we're starting to dip into these things, and we're going to lose, I think, a lot of flexibility in some of these agencies that have frozen positions for quite a while. And so we created a problem with the frozen positions from the standpoint of, you know, in certain areas. And so when we start dipping into these, I think we're gonna start having more and more of these things bubble up to the top. And I'm assuming A&I, Chris, and I guess I'm looking at you, you take that into account when you reclassify these positions? Do you?
Well, let me – one is I agree with you.
Yeah.
So if we approve this, frankly, folks, you're approving four more positions. Call it what you want. It's a request for to add four positions to DEQ. And we've added a lot of positions. And were it my call, frankly, I'd say no more positions, and I wouldn't give them the $1.5 million. I'd say work with what you've got. But, you know, I understand you got a new governor coming in. He's got he went through a campaign where – he's had the benefit of talking to a lot of folks, and the other aspect of it is you could deny the four positions but give the $1.5 million. So it's your call. I mean, but it seems to me that you're absolutely right. It's four brand new positions, and there comes a time where you just say, go do an efficiency study in your agency and figure out how to make your agency more efficient. Many of you will recall it wasn't too long ago when we saw a dip, significant dip, in the number of permits. And we said, what did you do with your positions? And they said, well, we expect our permits to come back, and we've got all the backlog in terms of looking at coal bed methane reservoirs. And so we, at a time where we thought we could actually take away positions, we allowed them to hold. And, I mean, that's... But I think you're there now with respect to, I mean, at the end of the day, I think we ought to sweep all those vacancies and just get rid of them and call new requests what they are, new requests. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if, because these are backlogs, and I've seen this agency do it, and they've got positions that they've reclassified as far as their job description, and they were had more positions than they needed on the coal bed methane, and they've come back in here and went through a lot of things where they said they retasked those particular individuals, and I'm just wondering if at this point in time whether we should say that these are four at will positions and tie a report to us as far as how these people are actually doing it. Then they're just contract if we take it out. To the contractors, yeah. Well, Mr. Chairman, I think I'll make that motion, and I'll leave the $1.5 million in and delete the four reclassified positions.
Is there a second? I'll second it. So the motion on the floor is to, if you look over on page 11, is to reject what was the Governor Friedenthal rec of reclassification of the positions. So that no new positions are added, but to adopt the recommendation for $1.5 million in the 903 series for contract dollars to help for backload. So you give the contracting one-time money to help with the backlog, but provide no more positions. Does everybody understand the motion? Discussion on the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. That motion's been adopted. Any further motions? The motion is Governor's rec as amended, which provides no new positions, but does provide the $1.5 million for 903 series one-time contracting funds to address the backlog. All those in favor
Mr.
say
Chairman,
aye.
Mr. Chairman, time out.
Time out.
There's some additional money in there, as Don just pointed out to me, that $60,250 and $100,000. And you'll see that amount reflected on page 13 in total, general fund, 160, 250. So are we, when you take the four positions, are you deleting that as well and just simply adding the 1.5 to this? Just for my clarification.
Mr. Co-Chairman, I don't think you were here when we had that testimony, so it's the bottom of that page, that $60,250 was asking them to do an organizational assessment.
I just...
Part of it, Mr. Chairman, was to... they are having a problem with their workflow, and I guess basically the director and the governor thought that they needed to have this assessment done.
But governor's got enough money in his budget to figure that out. Just give him the $1.5 million, he can flex those dollars in. And does everybody agree with that? All right. So the motion was, which was adopted, was to strip all the gov's recs out, provide the $1.5 million, and governor has plenty of flex that he can accomplish these things without us directing him to do it. Everybody in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Everybody know what the motion is. That was the that addresses the 401 unit. That takes us over to Abandoned Mine, which is the 4401 unit. The request there is for...
Mr. Chairman, that's the AML.
That's the AML, so we'll address that. Then the motion is to close Agency 20. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion's been adopted. That takes us to Agency 24, which is the state parks, and their department priorities are on page 6. Our first appropriation request is found on page 12 with the unit 231. Governor's rec was zero. All those in favor of Gov's rec, that's the Arts Council, by the way. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Gov's rec's adopted. Next item goes to Archives, Records, and Management. The expense unit is the 0240 for the management. The governor did recommend total of $55,000. The narrative's on page 15. Senator Meyer.
Okay. I just want to double check. We're not on the cargo van or the microfilm processor now, right? Okay. Or are we?
Well, this is a this is not Capcom. This is but this provides equipment. So this is the lift, and Shelby,
microphone.
What the governor said was...
Okay, Mr. Co-Chairman, on this page 15 with that description, that has to do with a request for contract labor to move all the boxes because the agency believes they do not have the personnel to move all the boxes, and it would take several years to move it into their new shelving.
And the governor approved $55,000 to get the documents moved more quickly.
We're on priority number 3, right?
Well, it was priority one was the approved priority of 55. Priority number 2 was denied, so all of those are on page 15.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to try to get some money in for the microfilm processor. The microfilm processor, if this is the place to do it, I'd make that motion to add $20,000.
And I'd second that.
Hold on. So that was a request. I think I may have been absent that day. So they made a request in addition to what's on there? Because I don't see an age.
No, Mr. Co-Chairman. It's there on page 15 under priority 7, number B, and the governor denied it. But the testimony was that the equipment is quite antiquated and it's difficult to get the parts. And at this time, this is their only method of archiving all the materials.
All right. So the motion on the floor is to restore the request for, is it the $100,000?
No, $20,000.
$20,000 for that equipment.
Right.
Discussion on the motion. Now, I guess my issue is, I mean, if we can appropriate that, are there other ways that they can fund it within their agents? They've got some other maintenance dollars, things like that, don't they?
Mr. Chairman, all the agencies have flex, so.
You know, folks, well, I'd remind you, I mean, when you go back and look at the agency priorities number six, and this was their seventh department priority, and so now you're going in and saying, well, you made it number seven, and that's what you told the governor, that's what you took to the budget office, and you come to us and say, well, now we'd like to switch priorities. And if you're going to respond to every one of those requests, fair enough. But there are other ways. I mean, it's not like you walk away today and new equipment's not purchased, flex doesn't happen. They just have to dig in their budget and do it. So when they prioritized at number seven, I submit to you they knew that there was other ways to pay it. In any event, any further discussion on the motion? The motion on the floor is to restore $20,000. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. I think the motion was adopted. Bleeding heart, Libra.
$20,000.
It's where it starts. All right. So,
Mr. Chairman,
the Senator Hastert.
And also, we have. Are we the governor's rec? And what we have in front of us does not allocate funds for contract services to move. Is that correct?
The Gov's Rec has $55,000 on for of the $100,000 as one-time funding. The breakdown was $50,000 for shelving and $5,000 for a lift.
And as I recall, the testimony was they didn't really have the personnel to do that. To move that.
They never do.
So,
you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion for the $45,000. I'm assuming that's the correct, yeah, $45,000 to have contract personnel take care of moving the boxes and restoring and putting up the shelving and reorganizing that whole thing.
Is there a motion to second the restoration of the $45,000? All right, so the motion is to restore $45,000 for contract labor. I've already made my argument.
Mr. Chairman,
Meyer.
I would speak on and against this motion. If you have a new lift and you've got three employees in that unit, the testimony was is that they've got several thousand boxes to move, and that some of their employees may not be able to do that on a full day basis, I guess, hour in and day in and day out. But you can only really have a couple of people on that, operation at one time, and you can't really hire part-time people for all of it because there's going to take some expertise in where those boxes go. So they're going to have at least one of their employees there that know where the boxes go, and you're not going to be able to teach that to a part-time person. So from my perspective, I think that they're going to have at least one of their people there all the time, and it just doesn't...
You got it.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, so I just don't see the need of it.
We all understand. Okay, the motion is... Sue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, the testimony that we also heard was that those three employees were pretty aggressively utilized with their duties that they have now, and that their competencies may not be in the lifting and packing and shoving and moving category, and perhaps that would be a better use of state dollars to hire some folks just to come in and get it done under their supervision.
And if you recall the testimony when we asked about the cargo van, how often they need to move boxes or move things in and out of that facility, it was two times a day. So they've got 3 days that they can move boxes in the warehouse.
I would like to ask something. A&I has a lot of employees. And I know that when you call for services, A&I can provide people to move furniture and things like that. Are there no resources in our entire state government of some 8,000 employees for people to go move boxes? Richard.
Mr. Chairman, now that you've asked the question, I'll jump in. Okay? Until then, I couldn't, but you've asked the question. The short answer is, yes, there is. The other answer is, there's more than three people in this unit. If you look at the personnel count down here, there are 20 positions in this unit. They also have TPO3 part-time positions basically out the wazoo here that they could bring in two of them for a month or two and get these boxes moved. The other issue is within probably a year and a half at probably the outside, that whole archive section will be moving into the old Liquor Commission warehouse that's being vacated for the liquor warehouse to go to their new location. So all those boxes that you're going to stack now, in a year, you're going to unstack every one of them and move them again.
The question and, the motion, and there are, all those there in are, favor, all those in favor, Senator, was it Meyer?
No.
Astor's motion, Astor.
And it was tens all of thousands Astor's, of boxes.
All those in favor say aye. And all those opposed say no.
No.
Now, since we didn't ask, before we move away on the $20,000, are we buying shelving that can go in the new building or the old building?
No, it's microphone.
Well, that's the microphone.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I got excited.
I know.
All those in favor of the Gov's Rec as amended, which puts in an extra $20,000, say aye. Opposed, no. That motion, Gov's Rec as amended on Unit 240 has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman. You did just add $50,000 for shelving with that motion. Let's open that up.
Let's go back to the... Is the $50,000 that we are we putting it in the right building?
Yes. Which building?
Well, Mr. Chairman, can we ask Richard whether it will work in the new building?
I believe this stuff is going to be portable, Mr. Chairman. I believe it can be moved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm thinking
Mr.
before
Chairman.
I let you talk.
Just checking.
All right.
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead,
thank
Arsh.
You, Mr. Chairman. Since we've opened this back up, and I think the same thing, though. I think we just put a little sentence in there that this shelving shall be used at the new storage site. I mean, I can just see this dude buying new. Oh, we're moving to a new place. Some more new storage stuff.
Well, actually, I wonder if we ought to just put the $50,000 in A&I and tell them to figure out what to do. And
well, that's what I'm saying. Let's make sure it's used more than just this year. That's my point.
All right. So there's, I think Representative Harshman just made a motion that the $50,000 is not to be expended without the authorization of the director of A&I. Is that what I heard?
Sure.
Okay, and but
y'all over this,
Mr. Chairman, how does that address in that sentence then at the top of page 15 the $5,000 for the lift?
Well, they can have the lift. Might as well go get the lift. They'll need it. Buy it.
And that's you don't
fine.
Care which building that they use that in then?
Well, I think lifts have wheel tires. They go from building to building.
Democracy at the finest.
But I don't want them to spend $50,000 worth of shelving and it gets
exactly.
damaged, putting them in one facility when it should go to the next facility.
Exactly. That's my point.
Mr.
But if it's no damage and there's no cost to us, fair enough.
Couldn't the language say that whatever shelving purchased shall be used in both
should be adaptable for both buildings. And the lift might be one of the sliding lifts. I don't know that, which means it's a package with your shelving.
I think it's good. Here's my concern, and that is this shelving is probably heavy duty, but we have seen this shelving be put in one building, taken out and damaged, and we've been asked to pay for damaged shelving. So I just want somebody to do a gut check to make sure we're spending the $50,000 where it belongs. Yeah. Tell her we'll be there. All right. So the motion is to specify that the $50,000 not be spent without the approval of the director of A&I. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Now we close the unit 240 as amended. All those in favor say aye. And I think the rest are CAFCON requests. Is that
Mr.
correct?
Chairman, page 26 and 27, 28.
26, 27, and 28, which is Express Organization, Unit 450. And the Gov's Rec is a total of $280,000. The narratives are on page 23 through 24. And this is just their equipment purchases that were approved. Yep. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That's been adopted. The rest are CAFCONs. So the motion is to close Agency 24. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That takes just to 27. And, folks, I'm always getting in trouble, but we're closing it up. We'll see you here tomorrow at 7 a.m. 7 a.m.
Hey, we got a lot done. That was good. Once we got cooking, we'll be all right. We'll only be here till midnight tomorrow.